Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. There are a lot of things that we could learn about you just by observing the world. We would know that you are a great designer, that you know what beautiful looks like. We would know that you're wise in everything that you do, that you're orderly. So much we can see from the world that you exist. We cannot deny that. But there's so much, Lord, that you reveal to us in your word that tell us more of who you are. It tells us about your heart. It tells us who we are called to be. So during our time together, reveal more of that to us. Give us a heart to obey, a heart that wants to use our words in wisdom, to build others up and not to tear them down. We thank you, God, for your word. Your word gives life. Speak it to us this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The ability to arrange sounds into understandable words is not a product of evolution. It is, in fact, a gift from God. And I don't think that it is a stretch to say that the ability to speak, to communicate, is something of what it means to be created in the image of God. Our God is a speaking, communicating God. You might be able to get a dolphin or a parrot to repeat some of your words, but human beings are the only ones who are able to communicate our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our plans, our loves, and our joys, the only of God's creation to be able to do so. One of the highest experiences that anybody can have is that our heart wells up and pours out praise through our mouths for our Creator and our Savior. Worship and thanksgiving, those begin inside of the heart and they are completed with the mouth. What a joy it is to feel love for another person. But you complete that joy in what you say about your love. What are those things that you delight in the most? The experiences you've had, the people that you know, the places that you've gone, you cannot help but speak of them. So you feel it in your heart, you know it in your heart, but then you have to say it with your mouth. Words give expression to the heart. It's as if words put clothes on your thoughts. It dresses up what is inside and then sends it out into the world. God has entrusted every human being with a great responsibility, and that is to be a steward of his words. But because of the fall of man and sin in the heart, your tongue has the ability not only to build up, it has the ability to tear down. It can encourage or destroy. It can give life or it can kill. And as is the case with any other gift that God has given, any gift can be twisted, it can be perverted. So is the gift of speech. We can use it in such harmful ways, ways that it was never intended for the mouth to speak, we speak. James says it should not be so that words to praise the Lord can come out of the same mouth as words that could speak ill or destroy your neighbor. It'd be like a stream that can pour forth both bitter and sweet water. It should not be so, but it is. Sticks and stones will break our bones, but words have the power to do far worse. And they do. So the main verse for our time together today is from Proverbs 18:21. This is what it says. death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Both are there. Death and life. They can be sown from our mouths. And so the aim of the wise man, we're told throughout Proverbs, the aim of the wise man will be to always use his tongue to give life. But to know how to do this requires great skill. The book of Proverbs has more to say about our use of words than anything else. No other subject gets more time from the wise man than this. He talks more about your words than he does about sex or about work or anything else. It's been said that a man or a woman speaks on average about 700 times a day. Not 700 words, 700 different occasions he opens his mouth and speaks. And some of you speak more, and some of you speak less. But we take it for granted that words should just flow from our mouths. But God is calling us here to become craftsmen, to become artists, to become wise men with the arrangements of words that we use, the timing that we say them, the tone that we use when we speak. It all has to do with wisdom. So here's a good summary to get us started for our time together today. The wise man will understand the power of words. He will know when to speak, in what way, with the right choice of words, in order to do another person good. So let's start with the first. The wise man will know when to speak. Some people think that it's always time to talk. If they're in the room, they've got to fill the air with words. Because to them, silence is deafening. Or every statement deserves an immediate answer, even if they've not given time to think it over. But Proverbs tell us that a wise man does not always choose to speak. There are, in fact, times for silence. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man, we're told, quietly holds it back. The spiritual issue that's at stake here in this proverb is self-control. We do know that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, correct? We're told that the fool has no self-control. He gives full vent to his spirit. It just all comes out. Can't close it off, can't filter it. He just pours forth speech. I'd ask you, have you ever been in a situation before where even in the moment you know that you should stop talking? You're just kind of getting carried away with yourself. Words are coming out and you tell yourself, I just need to stop. But you can't. It's like your tongue is uncontrollable. It has no brakes. It's a runaway train. It just keeps on going. Not every situation requires you to speak. But there are also times where you need to just carefully give thought to the words that are going to come out. You ever speak before you think? You just start talking and you realize that you've said something stupid? Well, I sure have. Proverbs 18 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. I'm sure you've been around people before who they pontificate broadly on all subjects. They have something to say on every matter when you know that they have no clue what they're talking about. You know, their words are just crowding together, almost no pause given so that they can think. Doesn't seem to be any sense to the order at all to what they're saying, and there is no path forward. You don't know where they're going. I've been that guy before, but I'm trying. This is a more modern proverb that really is based on one that is in here, but I like the way that it is said. It says, I would rather be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Think on that. Because sometimes I had this friend as a young person who rarely talked. He just didn't talk much. And so he was just considered wise because he didn't speak. And often we didn't know what his thoughts were on a particular subject, but I guess he would have rather been thought a fool and not to speak than to open his mouth and remove all doubt. Most of us would do well to be thought fools than to be known as endless talkers. Those who speak a lot, they need to be warned that they're giving themselves great opportunity for sin. The more you say, the more opportunity you have to trip up with what is coming out of your mouth. We're told when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Every word that you speak has a moral quality to it. Every word that comes out of your mouth matters. Every one. And not just what is said, but the intent that you say it with. The Lord sees it all. He cares about every word that you speak. And maybe you have the view that sin is something that is done with the hands or with the feet or with the sexual organs, and they are at times. But there will be more opportunities for sin and then repentance with what comes out of your mouth because of how often you open it to say something. So the Lord takes your words very seriously. Listen to his words. Jesus said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every careless word will be weighed. And because that is true, it would do us well to stay silent more often. So the wise will know when to speak or if they should speak. The fool only talks and pours out speech recklessly, but the wise man will also know in what way that he should speak. What way he should speak. The wise man will speak truthfully, but he will speak gently. He will combine both of those, truth and gentleness, when he chooses to open up his mouth. He never sacrifices what needs to be said, but he is always able to say it in a way that can be received by the hearer. Does that make sense? You don't sacrifice the truth. You don't want to be a deceiver. You don't want to be afraid. So you need to say what is true, that is loving. But it's also loving and wise to say it in a way that that person will receive it. I love this one right here. This is from Proverbs 25:15. It says, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue may break a bone. Let me say that one more time. With patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue may break a bone. If you're wanting to break a bone, what would you normally do? You have to use force, right? You've got to be strong. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to put some pressure on it. But here we're told that soft words are what the wise man uses to break things. Hard things. Hard hearts. Firm opposition, powerful rulers, those in authority. It is soft words, not aggression, not power. The natural way to attack opposition, I think we see this pretty often in our culture right now. People attack opposition through volume, aggressiveness. If my anger and my volume, if they overwhelm yours, then I'm probably going to get my way. So people think that's the wise and right way to use our words, but not the wise man. Not the man who has been shaped by the Bible instead of the world. The wise man is not just looking to win an argument. What is he looking to win? You. Your heart. That's what the wise man is pursuing. Not just the argument, but the person. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And whoever captures a soul is wise. You know, and that verse might at first not look like it has anything to do with your words. The capturing of a soul, that person is wise. Doesn't mention words. But how can you capture a soul, the heart of a person, without words? Worldly rulers, they capture people by power, the strength of their armies, or by the strength of their allies, by superior force. That's what they use. But the wise man's desire is to win people by the persuasiveness of his words. And I think you probably know through experience that that does not generally happen with anger. Think about this on a domestic level, your home. Your spouse, your children, your siblings, shouting might sometimes get your way, but it never gets the person's heart. Force might often win the argument, might win the day. Well, I sure got that one. But you break the person along the way. And those are the people that you love. Gentleness, brothers and sisters, should never be mistaken for weakness. But it is the tone. It is the tone in the heart that truth is supposed to be wrapped up in. Sent out in. Truth combined with gentleness. Because again, truth does need to be spoken. It never should be sacrificed. We're told whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. We're supposed to be truth tellers. And you often meet people who tell you that's what they are. I'm just a truth teller. I just tell you how it is. Because they love the truth. But you can go wrong with truth in one or two directions. It could be like that person that he is so concerned about the truth that he will injure you in the process of giving it. Or you'll be the opposite. You'll be so afraid of injuring the person that you'll never give the truth. I would say that most of the folks inside this room right now could be generally separated in one of those two categories. But the Bible teaches us that there is a way that truth can be delivered while doing both. You can give truth, but with gentleness you make it palatable. It's like making kids eat vegetables. They need it. But what a struggle it is to get them to swallow them. I don't really think that many of my own children would eat broccoli just on their own. We got a couple strange birds that do. But most of them are not going to just pick up broccoli and want to eat it. What do we have to do to make it palatable? We put cheese on it. To sacrifice truth makes you a deceiver. And so we can't do that. But to force truth with no concern for the person, that makes you a bully. And you don't want to do that either. So the wise man learns to serve up truth with cheese on it. It's truth with gentleness. Can you see why I said at the beginning that we are called to be craftsmen with our words? Craftsmen. Because this is how God designed speech to operate wisely for right relationship. To be used according to His plan. To use your mouth the way that He designed it originally to work. Speak truth, but with gentleness. Let me give you a couple of examples from the Proverbs. Both from chapter 15. A soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. And so a wise man knows how to diffuse a situation with the right tone. So he and another person might say the exact same thing. One says it softly, the other angrily. Same words, but packaged differently. And you have all seen it happen. The person who knows how to say something can bring calm and peace to a situation, but the one who only knows anger and frustration, and you can hear it in their tone, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. So the wise man knows how to be gentle and say the right thing in the right way. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Man, that's good. Fruitful tongue, bringing forth good fruit. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So the wise man will know if and when to speak. He's going to know in what way he should speak. And then lastly, he will know the right words to speak with. So the wise man will carefully select the right words for the right situation. His words are suitable. They fit the time. Again, another one from Proverbs 15. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So there's a situation, you know, where you know that you have to speak. Something has to be said here. You know how to speak it with the right tone to talk with. But the wise man knows the right words to use for that situation. I was thinking on this week, like, then how important it is to have a good vocabulary. And so again, if you are a craftsman, if you're a craftsman, if somebody came into this room 80 years ago and was able to do all the woodwork, put everything together, they used particular tools for it. They knew what tool to use. I mean, have you ever been in a situation before that if you just had the right tool, this would be so much easier? Well, these people came in here and they used the right tools and put the room together in the right way. Words are your tools. You need to know your way around words. And it might sound so ridiculously simple, but do you have a good vocabulary? Are you equipped with the right words for the right situation? We want to be craftsmen. So you ponder what needs to be said and you search for the right words to come out of your mouth. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And to be rash means to be careless. You don't give any thought at all to what is going to come out your mouth. Again, you just say it like it is. And you're told that's like sword thrusts. Whatever pops into your head, that's what gets blurted right out. But these thoughtless words, we're told, they stab and they slash. They hurt, they wound, they injure, they kill. I think you probably know what it's like to be on the giving and the receiving end of that very thing. You wished, as soon as it came out, you wish you could take it back. But as soon as the words come out, you cannot grab them. They have delivered their blows as soon as they are said. Words should be thought of like money. Some of you are probably really bad with money, so this won't be a good advice for you. But for those of you who are careful with it, you are to spend your words like you have a budget, which means you're going to give thought to what's going to be said. And if you think of words kind of like money, you're going to be much more careful with what you say. Thought will go into each sentence and you'll choose what seems most fitting for the occasion. Blurting rarely leads to edification. Blurting rarely leads to building up, but it often leads to tearing down. Here's the most fitting verse for this point. From Proverbs 25, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. So think about this in your mind's eye, what that would look like. You've got a silver bowl, and inside of it, you've got several golden apples. We don't need to complicate this, because, I mean, who could make something like that? Who is able to make a silver bowl with all sorts of gold apples sitting in there just right? It is a person who is a master craftsman. He knows how to use gold, and he knows how to use silver. He knows how to shape it. He knows how to mold it just right. So it is with a person who knows how to use their words, like an artist would, like a craftsman would. Your tongue is a tool intended for the good of others. That is why you have it. That's why it's there. Words are other-oriented. And I'm going to guess that some of you probably talk out loud to yourselves. I do that sometimes. But my words aren't intended to be said to love myself. And don't get me wrong, you think things about yourself and you say things about yourself, but that's a message for another day. The gift of communication was given for the good of your neighbor. And so be careful. Be careful with the words that you select for every conversation to build up and not destroy. To heal and not to wound, to give life, not death. That's why God gave you a tongue. I want to give you some final thoughts of application, and then we're going to be done. I watched the presidential debate on Tuesday night. And that could be just about all I'd say, right? And I knew going into it that it was going to be rough, but that would be a word that is far too mild to be used for what I witnessed and for what you witnessed if you watched it. And so let me reiterate these three truths. A wise man will know when to speak and when to stay silent. He will be able to speak truthfully, but gently. And he will carefully select the right words for the right situation. Let the word of God judge what was on that stage. It was not wisdom. But as much as I need to be able to see the foolishness that is out there in the world, what I need more is to be able to see the foolishness that is in me. We're all pretty good at picking apart others and what we see and calling it like it is, but we're all very poor at calling me like what I am. We're not so good at that. About 10 years ago, I went to a weekly meeting where every time that I went to that meeting beforehand, I thought to myself, you know, this week I am not going to say anything stupid. I'm not going to say anything at the wrong time. I'm not going to say anything with the wrong motivation. And more times than not, I would walk out of that meeting that day disappointed in myself. Almost like I just couldn't help myself. So there's a possibility for us as we listen to a message like this about words where we say, I'm just going to do better. I'm just going to do better. Because, I mean, this makes sense, right? This is about as practical as it gets. If I could just take these three truths and apply them to the way that I speak, I will be much better off. We all see that. So today I'm going to try harder. You know, and that's a good motivation. I want to try harder. But we've got to get it that willpower just won't cut it. Not sheer willpower. Because our hearts are the problem. It's not just trying to modify the behavior of my tongue and putting a fence over it. The problem is much deeper. It's down underneath where the words come out. So some of you here this morning, you think, or I'm imagining that you kind of thought words that, or thought thoughts that make you think you can just change all this by self-help. The Word of God is pointing out your problems. I just need to make appropriate adjustments. But it is not that simple, not with you, not with our presidential candidates. But I hope that in our time together, you've seen evidence for what the Bible calls sin. It's in you. And it is not evidenced more in any other way than by what comes out of your mouth. Your rash words, your too many words, your poorly chosen words, your selfish, angry, hateful words, they are the bad fruit of a much deeper problem. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. You cannot change the fruit without first changing the root. You don't just need an adjustment, brothers and sisters. You need a new heart. A new heart that is ruled by new loves. And the summary of the Christian life, we're told by the Lord, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. The purpose of the tongue is no different. It was designed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength by everything that you say. But it's also designed to love your neighbor as yourself. The redeemed tongue that belongs to a person who is submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ will praise his Savior and love his neighbor from the heart, because he has given you renewed loves. And you will stumble in many ways with your tongue because you stumble in your heart. But we must every day depend on the Lord Jesus to give us the grace to repent and the strength to be able to carry out what the wise man says here. Only when Jesus strengthens us and gives us what we need can we be wise like this. So again, sheer willpower is not the answer. A renewed, refreshed, restored heart is. Or we need to be reminded every day that we are sinners in the heart and in the tongue. And only by grace can we be changed and saved. You cannot tame your tongue, but the Lord can as you submit to him. A man breaks a horse to make it useful for riding. The Lord tames the heart to make it useful for love. And out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. We all want to be wise with our words, but oh, how difficult. Every day, we need to lay our tongues and our hearts before the Lord that he might make us wise. Heavenly Father, make us wise people in the way that we use our tongues. Show us, God, the depravity of our hearts. Because the problem is not just a reckless tongue and a reckless mouth. It is a broken heart. We don't always know what is going on inside of our hearts. We don't know our motivations. We don't know our aims. Sometimes we don't know why we say and do the things that we do, but you do. You see everything clearly. Through the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus, untangle our hearts so that we might use our words for good. Have mercy on us. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of all the evil that has come out of our mouths, you still love us Your love should overwhelm us and amaze us every day if we could just see ourselves more like we really are and then see you more like you really are. Give us praise to flow out of our lips. Lead us, God, to use our mouths for things more like that. We would honor our Savior because of the great kindness that you have shown to evil talking sinners like us. We love you and we praise you with our mouths and with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.